Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
I remember when we were worshiping him in this last song, I couldn't help but thinking about the little cartoon where they bring the gifts to Jesus, and it's the drummer boy, and you know, he played his best for him. It was nothing, but it was his everything. And, you know, that's really what it's all about. You know, we've got nothing, but we give him our everything. And, you know, I'm so thankful that he saved me and brought me back into his family, into his kingdom. And As I've been praying for tonight's message, I was sitting with the Lord earlier today, and you know, we were going one way and then another way, and nothing really came, and so you know, nothing came for you guys. I got a lot, and he was reminding me of. You know, when I said yes to Jesus Christ, you know, I did it actually in the cursed system. I didn't do it through wholeness and redemption. I did it out of fear of going to hell. And you know, the gospel message really is good news. But because I was in a fallen state, I couldn't even comprehend the good news. I couldn't believe how good his news is. And I looked at it through the filter of, I just don't want to go to hell and burn, you know, that's it, save me, Jesus. And as I've been pondering that, I think how limited my thinking and my knowledge was back then, and perhaps still is today in areas. And as I pondered that, it brought me to the great day of when I met him. You know, I said the sinner's prayer from a fleshly, self-absorbed, full of pride, full of sin, full of rebellion, ungenerated soul who didn't even know that you could have relationship with Jesus this side of heaven. And so I did that prayer out of desperation and nothing more. But with that nothing more, God still took that seed, still took that transaction, and patiently waited, like a good sower of a seed. You know, oftentimes we want that seed to grow fast, and we want to reap the harvest. But if we think about it, how often is He watching His beloved children, waiting for them to come into fullness of fellowship and relationship and wisdom and revelation of everything back in Garden State? And the battle is really not between the Lord and us. It's really lack of knowledge of everything that's been provided because of the way we were raised and because of what we listened to, and we just didn't know. And I remember the day I met Jesus. I actually was in a service in Elgin, and I was totally undone because I thought I knew everything back then, and I knew nothing. And I'm going to read some scripture later, but I'm giving you a little backdrop on some things. And when you meet him face to face, whether it's through the Word of God or through a manifestation of His presence in some way, you're wrecked for ordinary life. His print, His handprint is on you, and it's burned in, like, but not in a bad way, in a good way, like it's as solid as gold, but only better. And no matter what storms come your way or what things happen, He owns you. And we have to come into the revelation and the truth that He bought us for a price. The price was His precious Son's blood. And he brought us back into redemption before the fall, back to garden state. And that is for every one of us. And so I think back to the struggles in my life that I had then and the little trials I have now. And what is different is knowledge of his word and knowledge of his promises through his word. And no matter what, faith gets built either for the good or the bad through relationship with him. And what I mean by that is I didn't know he was always good. Remember when I got saved, I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell, but I had no idea of his goodness. And as I like a little baby, as you start to grow and develop and learn, you start to build intimacy with him. And you, anytime you have intimacy, you see goodness. Because we're created in the image of him. We're actually made in his image. And so when we start to recognize that it's not about us, and it's really all about him and his kingdom and what he wants, right order starts to happen, just because that's the way things work in the kingdom of God. But meanwhile, there's this ugly flesh that's riling up or rearing up and trying to get dominion over our soul. And the battle is really with what we speak. You can shorten a battle or you can prolong a battle just by how you speak. And, you know, the enemy has been already stripped. He's stripped naked and he's just a foe. And but yet you see him roaming all over the earth and raising a ruckus wherever he can. But there's some places he can't raise a ruckus, and that's in our hearts. And we have to come to terms with, we've been given all authority. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom and said, occupy till I come, rule and reign, on earth as it is in heaven. And he wants us to put our big girl pants on, big boy pants on, and grow in relationship and stewardship with his promises and take dominion over the darkness that's roaming to and fro on the land, by speaking and declaring and praying God's word into the earth. And so as I was, you know, we were in a prayer meeting last night, and, you know, it was a really awesome, intimate prayer meeting. And one of the things that I saw was, and I didn't think I was going to share this, but I am. And one of the things I saw was I saw like a hand rolling dice, and they kept getting sixes. Five sixes, five sixes, five sixes. And it was like, I knew the Lord was saying, you know, there comes a place in God when he's like, that a girl, that a boy. You know, he wants us to get sixes. He wants us to use his authority and be victorious. And at the same time as that, I saw a great darkness in the land. And we were reminded of this, the vision of the tornado, and you know, some of you know about that and not, and I'll just give you the cliff note. If you're in the center of God, you're not even going to be aware that there's a storm going on. You know, you'll know, but it won't touch you. And if you think about that, you know, when the Israelites were in Egypt and all the plagues were going on, they weren't touching his chosen people. And those are pictures for us to use as reference points of, if you're in the will of God, things are going to be okay no matter what. And so, and some of you guys know I like to mow the grass because I like to hang out with the Lord and mow. And today I was mowing, but I actually listened to a teaching, and it was a pretty good teaching. And it was a believer sharing, you know, the word of God with somebody who thinks they're a believer. And what I mean by that is they may have said the sinner's prayer, but there's no relationship. And it brought me back to my days of, I said that prayer, mine was out of fear, this person was probably out of knowledge, or whatever, I don't know, but they still had questions, and which made me have questions for the Lord. And as I was asking him the questions, you know, I'm reminded of the time that we're in, and I remember listening to my pastor many years ago preaching about, you know, time is like a vapor, that scripture where here and then gone. And I was sitting up here tonight thinking, boy, is that true? You know, that is true. And what doesn't matter, that, you know, the urgent things that we think we need to do are oftentimes tasks to keep us out of the presence of the King. And you guys know I'm very open with my life, and I had a major course correction. And, you know, a near-death experience will do that to you. And I don't know how near my death was, but if I didn't self-correct, I don't think I'd be here right now. And, you know, I missed the warning signs because I got too busy. But was I in sin? I think there might have been some rebellion. And is rebellion sin? Yeah, it is. Let's be honest. And in my case, what happens when there's a near-death experience is you realize none of this stuff matters. What really matters is, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, did you do what I asked you to do? No, I was cutting the grass, or no, I was, you know, whatever, cleaning my closet out, whatever it is. And when something, I was actually thinking, I think everybody needs a near-death experience to bring them closer to the Lord. And I don't mean it in a scary way. I mean it because then when you really think this is it, you realize none of this matters. What matters is Him, the King of Kings. And, you know, so as I've been praying, I look at things with a little less filter of get her done. And I'm more into worshiping and pleasing my Father. And it, for those that know me, you think, oh, I do that. I do. But, you know, there's levels and degrees. And I want to grow ever closer to the King of Kings. I want to be unashamed of my raw worship to Him. I just want to be so caught up that I forget what time it is, what day it is, and where I'm at. And so I was in Romans today, and I felt like I was supposed to share a key tonight to help people, because there's so much going on in the earth realm. I mean, you can turn on any news channel, any Facebook, anything. There's somebody has an opinion about something. And as we look at that, we know that kingdom is rising against kingdom. Anybody who has breath in their lungs knows there's evil and there's good and there's a war going on. Even as a child, we'll know that because we're born in His image to know Him. And I believe that even children recognize evil. I've seen kids, very little babes, you know, 1 year old, 2 years old, you take them to a store, and if they see something scary on a wall, they back up. They know evil. They recognize it. But over the years, because it's in your face, its job is to desensitize you to allow it and accept it as normal. And so if you go back 50 years, you would not see what you're seeing today in your face. You know, I had something come on my screen. I didn't even see it yesterday. I was on my computer, and Holly said, I think that was evil, and it just went right past me. You know, I wasn't paying attention to the whatever thing that, you know, a news thing, and I thought, I'm going to have to put a screensaver on there. I don't want somebody's images coming at me. And what I'm trying to say is we need to guard our heart. We need to guard our gateways, because the enemy wants us, is the word decentralized? What's that word? Where you just desensitized. Thank you. And he wants that. And if you stay lukewarm, you'll fall into a warm pot. You know, if you want to be on fire, you have to change your position. And oftentimes it requires being on your knees in worship and reverencing the King of Kings. And so I want to read out of Romans today just a little bit, because this was one of those aha moments. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, I was talking to Kim last night, and she was sharing, you know, she's raising her kids as godly children. And I was thinking about that, how, you know, I really wasn't raised in a godly home. I was just taught right from wrong. And you know, that's okay. That'll get you so far. But there's a wealth of information in the Word of God, and a parent or a mentor who knows the Word of God and is parenting, whether it's a 30-year-old, a 20-year-old, or a 2-year-old. And we are going to learn from wherever we look. And so it's important to put up hedges or put up window blinds to mindless stuff that is trying to entrap our minds and make it think it's okay. And so as in Romans, I want to tell you about Kim, though. Kim, could you just share those two, do you know what I'm going to talk about? Yeah, your two favorite sayings from the Holy Spirit. So you're teaching your kids that now, and you've been teaching them that since they were littles, 2 and 4. So they've been instilled some proverbs that will help them grow in life and look at things through the eye of God instead of the eye of man. And as little as those statements are, they're filled with wisdom and revelation, and they expose the nature of our heart, which is a good thing. Our hearts need to be exposed so that we know what's in them, because oftentimes things hide in them that we don't even know we have in there. And I'll give you an example. I remember when I was going through, I call it the great shaking in my life, where, it was very bad, and there was nothing. I lost everything, but I chose to go the way of the Lord instead of the other way. And when I did that, I no longer could afford to get my toenails painted. That was a luxury. And so I stopped getting my toenails painted. And Edgar said to me one day, "How come your toes aren't painted?" And out of my mouth I said, "'Cause I'm poor." And that slipped out so fast, and I thought, I got an area in my heart that needs some work. And so I diligently, first of all, I broke those words right after I said it, because it just bubbled up out of my heart. And I broke those words, and then I went to the Lord, and I said, "You got to help me, because this is in my heart. I don't want this in my heart." And so we did study after study of the Word of God and what the Word says about prosperity and His riches and His treasures. And it took a transformation to pull out that old weed and plant the Word of God in. And I laugh at that now. You know, and that's like, I was here, and now I'm here. And that is in every area of our life. So there's areas when you feel squeezing going on. I actually like squeezing. I've learned to recognize squeezing's good, because it'll bubble up either God's word or a false belief system that does not line up with God's word. And so when it comes out, I break it, and then I say, "Lord, teach me, help me recognize the truth and figure out how to change my mind." And oftentimes it's just finding scripture and learning about it, and then meditating on it, and then, you know, you eat it, and not just to memorize it, but it becomes, because it's alive, the Word of God is alive, and it becomes part of Him, because He is the Word made flesh. I eat the Word. It's health food. So I want to read to you a little bit in Romans. This is out of the Passion Translation, and I'm just going to give you the backdrop. So Paul's talking about, faith, and Abraham was the father of faith. And this came up last night in our prayer meeting, and so I was reading it today and talking to the Lord about it. And I got into Romans 12, but before we go to 12, I just want to give the backdrop, which is, you know, there was rebellion with God's chosen people, and it gave an opportunity to us to know Jesus, is basically the backdrop on that. And so I want to read 11, boy, it's kind of dark in here, 32. Actually, God considers all of humanity to be prisoners of their unbelief, so that He can unlock our hearts and show His tender mercies to all who come to Him. I'm going to read that again. God considers all of humanity to be prisoners of their unbelief, so that He can unlock our hearts and show His tender mercies to all who come to Him. Who could ever wrap their minds around the riches of God, the depth of His wisdom, and the marvel of His perfect knowledge? Who could ever explain the wonder of His decisions or search out the mysteries the mysterious ways he carries out his plans. For who has discovered how the Lord thinks, or is wise enough to be the one to advise him in his plans? Or who has ever first given something to God that obligates God to owe him something in return? For out of him, the sustainer of everything, came everything, and now everything finds fulfillment in him. May all praise and honor be given to him forever. Amen. You know, God is the creator of everything. Man is not original. We're made in his image, but he created us. We can't give him anything that he hasn't already given us. And it's kind of like seed time and harvest. So I just want to read 12 now. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all the delights his heart, all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So the genuine expression of worship is to surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all the delights, all that delights him. That's huge right there. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. That's this is like boom, I hope you're getting it. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of your self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. And then he goes into talking about the different body parts, organs, and how we all work together, and use your gift, your God-given grace gift that he's given you, and that will, it shows love to the brothers and sisters, which brings unity to the body of Christ, and it goes on further. And what I want to say is, pride blocks us from truth. Pride has a way of blinding us to think we're okay where we're at. And he's talking here, Paul's talking about measuring, how you measure. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. See, oftentimes we go back up to here, we imitate the ideas and what we see on TV. You know, somebody starts a new haircut and then everybody follows it, or somebody wears skinny jeans and then everybody follows it. God has given you his image. You bear it on the inside, and he wants you to wear him on the outside. Through holy worship, intimacy, and fellowship, when you are intimate with him and worshiping in him, however that is for you, whether it's in nature or just, you know, wherever, however it is, when you connect with him, a reflection of him comes through you. Now, when I was talking to him about this, he reminded me of when I was praying. I was asking him a question about finances years ago, and I got caught up on a mountain in a vision. And he was holding me by the hand, and he said, "Look, all this is yours." And he was pointing to everything, and I'm like, "I don't get it." And he took me back, and I received this garment, which was way too big for me, and I felt like I was in my mom's clothes because I was like a little kid, and these clothes didn't fit, and the shoes were too big. But as I was looking, I looked in the mirror in heaven, and I saw who I really was created to be, and it was Jesus in an earth suit. And we get so caught up with the false images and idolatry in our lives, which cause distractions, it causes decay, and brings forth confusion. And wherever there's confusion, we know that's the work of the enemy. But the way out of that is right here. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Immerse yourself in his presence through worshiping him, whether it's through reading his word. You know, we're in a time where there is a great separation taking place. There's acceleration in both kingdoms. And we will see a falling away. We're seeing it now. We're seeing the shaking. And it starts in the house of God. Now, I don't know how it's going to play out, but I'm asking him to make my heart ready to keep me pure and holy. I used to think holiness, I didn't understand holiness. To me, I had a false belief system. I used to think nuns were holy, and I knew they were not holy. But what I learned is when you worship the King, his holiness comes on you or comes through you, and it brings forth, it like burns the dross off and brings forth a vessel which is good and his for his good pleasure. It's not about us. But yet that pride, the earth pride, blinds us into thinking, I've got to achieve the job, I've got to get the family, I've got to have the bank account. None of that matters. If you think about that scripture in Matthew where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. See, when I saw the hand of when I saw the hand with the dice, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. It'll be like winning the lottery. It'll be like, because God loves to bless his kids. And he doesn't do it, he just does it because he's dad. And he wants his kids to be blessed. He wants us to walk in the power, the resurrection power that his son released when he descended and ascended. And so I see the shaking going on in the body of Christ, where he's calling his bride to true holiness, not the fake stuff, pure holiness, unabandoned, pure raw love for him brings forth his holiness, and there's a shift taking place, and things are going to look odd for a reason and for a while, because we've never seen this before. What he's doing is he's can I be so bold and say he's about to make entry? I don't know when, but he's preparing his bride who will be spotless. No blemishes. That's you guys. That's us. And there will be no compromise. There cannot be compromise. Sin is compromise. If you have open sin in your life, God is shaking you and saying, let it go. Seek first the kingdom of God. Do you trust me? Well, I don't know about that. Do you trust me? See, faith and trust shake hands. Faith brings forth trust. It's an act of faith to trust God. You have to believe. You've got to make a heart decision that you're all in. Half-hearted Christians are going to struggle. But it's not because God's punishing them. It's because they're looking in all the wrong places. And they're imitating all the wrong people. Be imitators of love. Who's love? Jesus. Be imitators of love. Not the counterfeit stuff. Not the fake, I love you. Not that fake stuff. Every one of you is a force to be reckoned with. You're a Holy Ghost force to be reckoned with. The devil has no say in your life. He's got no inroads in your life. We have to start closing those doors, those windows of compromise. You're going to see it. It's going to be exposed. And it's not to punish. It's to bring forth his blessings of pure love, pure uncompromised love, pure righteousness. It's him. It's him. Remember, this life that we've been given, this earth suit, is temporary. We're going on to eternity where we will, the decisions we make now affect us later. Don't put off the decisions of seek first the kingdom of God. Sow your time into him and watch what he does. I'm like in awe of what he's doing. I used to think he needed my help to get this stuff done. I have found that is a false belief system built on pride. I was taught that as a kid. Is it wrong? Not for the earth system, but for his system, yeah. For his kingdom ruling and reigning, I'm just a steward. I'm just the vessel. I'm the ambassador. We're all chosen for a purpose, and we're all here in this time because he put us here in this time. There's no leaving early. There's no quitting. Now, it may get hard. It may get tough for some people. But remember, death has no hold. Death has no sting. What happens if they persecute you? Will you compromise? We need to get these answers now in our heart, not later. Remember, when I got pushed, I'm poor. I don't want to be pushed and say, I don't want to renounce Jesus Christ. I don't want to. Lord, help me stay strong and know the big picture. It's a vapor here. It's a vapor here. I know this isn't popular, but listen, we're in a season where we need to hear this. We need to start talking about it and be prepared. Every knee will bow. Every knee will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Start now. Get in practice. Now, Lord means Lord of all, not Lord of just a little thing, not just Lord of my church life. Lord, I am a slave to the kingdom of God. Use me as a tool however you want. My opinions don't matter. My feelings don't matter. The assignment he gives me is what matters. Do you know your assignments? Do you know who you are? You know, I remember Holly used to, we'd be in some, I think there were seminars, I can't remember, or maybe she even preached it, and she'd say, you know, I heard a long time ago, Andrew Womack said, if you don't know your purpose, is that what it was? Your niche. If you don't know your niche, you should ask him. And so I would be like, I'd hear her say that, and I'd say, Lord, what's my niche? I'd hear nothing. I thought, oh, I don't know. I just keep going along. And then one day, I said, Lord, what's my niche? And he told me. And maybe I wasn't ready to hear it before that. Maybe my development was too slow because I was too focused on other things. I don't know. But when he told me that, I thought, oh, interesting, and I didn't share it with anybody. And then somebody gave a testimony that day and said the exact words that the Lord said to me when I prayed for this person. And I just laughed because it was a joke between me and the Lord. And since then, when you get assignments or grow in him, you should become more him. And so I'm telling you, I got a string of names right now that are my identity in him. And I just think it's awesome. It's we should know who we are. We should know our niche. We should know what we're called to do. And if you read on in Romans 12, it talks about, and this I love this, God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts. God does it. So it is God. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If you're grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, it goes on and on and on, but it says, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. There's too much mask wearing. Too many people with their name tag. I'm the greeter. You know, too many committees. Get real with God and ask him what your niche is, and he will tell you. And then it says, despise evil, embrace everything that is good and virtuous. Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of our family, of one family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. That's the opposite of pride. No, you. No, you. but not the false pride. Everything we do it unto the Lord. We have to start to recognize we're not doing it for our own good pleasure. If we are, it's a work of the flesh, and it's not going to profit anything. If you have an assignment to clean carpets, it's unto the Lord. You do it because it's his carpet. He owns it all. If you have an assignment to babysit, it's unto the Lord because those are his kids. There's no motive to get. We give it all to him because he's worthy, because he gave everything to us. We need to come out from underneath the earth compromise system and walk into fulfilling God's promises in our lives, the written books in heaven that he wants us to do. Amen? You got anything, Holly? Come on up here. I know you do. You want to or no? Come on up. You always got something good. Putting her on the spot. Yeah. Do you want me to get it for you? There you go. Okay. No, I'm just moving over for you. Given. No, I could keep going all night, but I just felt like you might have something good to pop in.
Well, hallelujah. So when Andrew said that, I was in my 20s, and he said, if you don't know, you know, if you know Andrew, he says, he's wearing cowboy boots, you know. You don't know your niche in the body of Christ. And I left, and I thought, I don't know my niche. I didn't know there was such a thing. And I began to ask the Lord what it was, and he said, the words temple servant. And I didn't know that was in the Bible. Actually, for years I didn't know it was in the Bible. But he would give me pictures. Now, when I finally did some history research, a temple servant, they waited on the priest. They weren't a priest. They weren't the big deal. They carried the wood. One of their jobs was they carried the wood so that the priests could do those sacrifices. Remember, on feast days, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sacrifices happened. And the servants were like, carry the wood, carry the wood, carry the wood. But it was to serve the body. And so I kind of love that. I'm like the maid. I'm the maid. But actually, that God's people, if you could see the way God sees people, They're so precious to him. We don't really, I don't think, have a revelation of how precious we are and other people are in God's sight. So it's precious like a gem, and it distresses, you know, I don't want to use that word. I don't want to speak for God here, but his heart, it distresses God in a way when we do not value each other. Or, you know, we don't always understand each other because we're radically different, right? We're radically different. And sometimes when you see somebody and they're so different, you just think, well, they're, you know, you want to blow them off because they don't see things the way you do or they don't process information the way you do. But that is probably because of their gifting.
Yeah.
I read this great saying, and it really kind of got to me. And the saying is, you are all geniuses, but if we judge a fish based on his ability to climb a tree, that fish will go through life thinking he's stupid. Think about it. And I've actually seen that there's somebody that maybe I think, well, they're maybe a little slow on the draw, but really what's going on is they process differently. They process information. They retain information differently than I do. They're because their gift is different, thank God. You know who wrote that saying? Albert Einstein, who really was a genius. And so I believe God is saying, ask him what your niche is. Ask, because think about the temple of God. It's not a bunch of God-hated cut stones. If you know this about the Old Testament, he didn't like stones that were cut. He wanted stones that were perfect as they were, okay? So if you think about how a temple is built out of stones, your stone, remember, we're being built together into a temple, aren't we? So your stone, it's very uniquely shaped. It's not this perfect little square. So you can't just fit anywhere in the temple. You can't just fit anywhere in the body. There's a certain place that your gifting fits perfectly, and the stones that are around you. And if somebody's in the wrong place, it's going to hurt. God used to tell me, if you're bumping your head, you're in the wrong part of the temple. In other words, if you're trying to do something that's outside your realm, you're going to be uncomfortable. If you're trying to do somebody else's gift because they did it that way, we have a bit of a disease in America where we think anointing is when people take a microphone, hallelujah, and they begin to preach like this, glory to God, hallelujah. And at one time, somebody probably did preach that way under the anointing, but we began to see it as anointed until we couldn't tell the difference, because that can be imitated. I just did it. I just faked that completely. Did you get a goosebump? Because we have gotten to a place where we can't tell the presence anymore because we're not with him enough. And when we're with him enough, we start to know the sense of his real presence. And when something isn't it, we may not fully understand, but we'll be like, ooh, something isn't right about this. Well, if you're in the wrong part of the temple, God wants to help you know who you are. You were born with a purpose and a reason. You were born with gifts, understandings. You were gifted to do certain things that I cannot do. Every person has different giftings, and it's really important to God. Can I just go there? So if you get the Word of the Month, you'll hear this on the Word of the Month, but one of the things God spoke to me, he was teaching me about kingdom. Kingdom is why God started this whole thing. He wanted a family. He wanted a family, by the way, not just humans, but the angelic beings were part of his family. Did you know that? In the beginning, it says he's the father of spirits, not just the creator of them. So they were part of the family, and then humans, he created humans, and it was going to be his kingdom on the earth. Eden was his kingdom set up on the earth for a time until the fall, right? That shouldn't have happened that way. So I was asking him, what did you really want in the first place? What did you want, and what do you want now? Because that whole thing got broken. Our job is to restore it. Don't you dare sit down. So you should never give me the, you know.
It's all good.
And he said, in a kingdom, every person has a role that benefits the whole town. And every person is really important. If you think about the olden days, you had to have a horseshoer. You had to have a dairyman. You had to have farmers. You had to have merchants. Everybody, you had to have the priests. The Levites were set apart as priests. Every person had a real specific role, and everybody knew who their role was, what their role was, and everybody knew, oh, go to so-and-so, that's the dairy guy, Tevye. He's the dairyman. Remember Tevye? And that was really important in the kingdom, but it's gotten so blurred right now that people are just wandering around. Who am I? What am I here for? And that's not wrong, but seek the Lord until you understand why you were placed here. And if you're not sure, sometimes you'll know by your giftings, by your abilities. Sometimes you'll know by your abilities what you're called to do. But God wants to restore his kingdom. Remember what the disciples said to Jesus? Lord, will you at this time restore your kingdom? They understood he was trying to do that. That's why he came. He was not just trying to save us. He was trying to rebuild his kingdom on earth. And of course, Satan has his kingdom, which is just a fake, cheap, counterfeit imitation. He's trying to do the same thing. And the two kingdoms are rising now. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom. That's what's going on. And so we have to really choose which kingdom we want to live in. We have to, like, here's the line. Here's the yellow line. Some people in the church, God bless them, I love them, are like this. One foot is in the kingdom of God, but they haven't really left the other kingdom, and so they're being torn, they're being stressed and distressed, and things aren't going well because they haven't fully been translated. Your spirit man has, but your decisions haven't, right? I'm not saying you, but... And so it causes trouble in your life. It opens the door to the enemy. That's where warfare comes from, usually. Usually. And so God is trying to restore his kingdom in the earth. And I believe that in the last day, there will be warfare and it will not be easy. But what God wants is a church that will shine the glory of God and who he is. He wants his kingdom, his family to shine. God wants the last word.
Yes.
He wants the last word. He wants to show off who he is. He wants to show off who you are. And so the best way for us to come into that is to so align with him in his presence, to so come close to him in relationship. I can't describe it, but there comes a place where we come so close to him that it's like becoming one, where it's like I woke up this morning, I actually stayed in bed like an hour and a half longer than I needed to. Like, I woke up pretty early, but the presence of the Lord was wonderful, so I went, I'm not moving. And it's so lovely in his presence. He's so lovely. He's so kind. And all I wanted to do was just hang out with him. Sometimes you're speaking, sometimes you're not, but when you get to have one of those moments, hit the pause button. Because if you're racing around too fast, it's harder to get to them. But if you have one of those moments, just hit pause and you know, suck it up, get all you can get, you know, just take all you can get. Because what's happening, God is trying to prepare us. He's changing the way we think. But that only happens when you're in his presence, when you're having, Lori called it intimacy, it's a close relationship with him. I'm sad for a lot of the church that has never been taught you can have a real relationship with him, like a friendship. When I first met God, I didn't know you could have a relationship. I just found myself in one. I'd been taken to some denominational church where they didn't know God and I didn't know God. And they were preaching out of the Reader's Digest. There was just some, you know, fake thingy where you sang some songs, they preached out of the Reader's Digest, and you left. But when I met him, I was stunned and amazed to find that he actually cared about me. Why would he care about me? I wasn't anybody. I had screwed everything up. I had messed up my life. I wasn't anybody. I had nothing to offer. I was a mess. And yet, he wanted to spend time with me. I found that to be amazing. He wants to spend time with you more than he wants your works, more than he wants your accomplishments or your performance or for you to get everything right. He already knows we don't get everything right. And he'll fix that. He'll work on that. But what he really wants is you. He wants you so much that he spent his life getting you. Cost him his life to get you, to give you to the Father. And, you know, Paul said, we don't dare neglect so great a salvation. That someone died for us to have this. That we have an open door to the Holy of Holies. That's what the cross was about. He tore the veil from top to bottom. That there's an open door to the Holy of Holies that anyone at any time could come in and fellowship with the Father. Only Jesus could have pulled that off. And yet we go, well, I'm a little busy now, God. You know, maybe another time. It's scary, right? And a lot of the church doesn't even know that this is a possibility, that God can be your best friend, your closest confidant, the one. You know why I'm never afraid anymore? Because if I get nervous about something, I go to my Father and say, teach me what to do. Or I don't know how to fix this, but I know you do. I can't make this right, but you can. And I've learned over the years that he never says no to that. He's a good father. He wants to be there in your trouble. He wants to be there. Someone in here, the word divorce has been mentioned in your home. The word divorce has actually been mentioned. And you're not sure what to do. The Father knows what to do. Some of you have heard the word recently or considered the word bankruptcy. The Father has a fix for you. The Father has a path for you. Someone said recently, I've lost everything. You were standing at a table. There was all these papers. You said, I've lost everything. I don't know what to do. The Father knows what to do. And he's your close, whether you know it or not. He is your closest friend. Your Father, when they say Abba, we could say Papa. He will never not help you if you're his. He will never say, I don't want to help you if you're his. Once you're his kid. You are of such great value to him. He'd move heaven and earth for you. But we avoid him sometimes. And what he was really looking for is your heart and your relationship. Amen? Okay, I'm giving it back. Quit talking. Good heavens. Stop talking.
There you go. Double scoop.
of some truth. I felt like I have this urgency tonight that you need everything. You know, I see, like, I feel like the Lord's like, don't let them leave without it all, you know, and so I'm asking him to give you all the revelation to receive his all, because I feel like some of you are being sent out, and I don't know where or what, but so right now, Father, I just pray for your grace for all of us to receive your all and understanding of what that really means. Teach us, show us, Holy Spirit, how to maneuver through these days and stay true to you, stay focused on you, and rest in you while we walk through obstacles and decisions. Let us always come into you and hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you don't know your niche, ask him. Ask him what it is. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from SpiritofGodWorldwide.com.